Well, good morning. All right. Happy Easter, everybody. How are you doing? Listen, today, not only is it Easter, but it is my birthday. That's right. That is right. So I'm assuming everybody brought cards and stuff. Just I'll meet you at the back door later, right? Well, hey, welcome. If you're here in person or online, I want to start the service with this. It is no mistake that you're here. It is not a coincidence. It is on purpose. And so as we go through the message today, I want you to keep that in mind, that today, whether you're here in person or if you're online, it is on purpose. And maybe the purpose was my mom or my wife or my husband or whoever made me come. You know, that could be the case, but it's on purpose. There's no mistake the fact that you're here today, all right? And so we're going to be talking about the resurrection. I think that's what we're supposed to talk about today on Easter, but I am excited because let me tell you something. The message today, what I believe that God has laid on my heart, is life-changing. And it's not just the resurrection. Like, we've heard this story, right? But I've, in studying this, and I'm going to be honest with you, in watching TikTok, there was this video that came through, a moment of weakness, and it turned me on to something that it just blew my mind. And so I did a little bit of research and stuff, and I've since then canceled it. China doesn't have my stuff. Don't worry. We're good. But TikTok was helpful. So today we're going to talk about the resurrection. And I think for a lot of us, a new light, a way that we've never seen it before. And so let's dive right in, though. But I want to start with this. I want to start with Matthew 27, verse number 46. And it says this. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that's perfect translation right there, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Right? We've heard this, right? Jesus is on the cross, and I'm going to tell you, I've been to church my whole life, and I have heard this verse my entire life, and one of the things that I've been told is that in this moment, Jesus is on the cross, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" We know that what happened is that Jesus became sin, right? He who knew no sin became sin for us. And in that moment, he's crying out to God because God turned his back because he could not look at sin. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's never really sat comfortably with me because I'm a sinner. And I have felt at times that because of my sin, because of who I am, my prayers don't get higher than the ceiling, right? God's not healed. I have to fix myself before I can come to church. Maybe there are people here today. You know, there's no hiding the fact that there are people here at Gateway Church or watching online who come on Easter and maybe Christmas Eve, and that's it. And I'll bet you, which is fine. Good. I'm glad you're here. But listen, I'll bet you as you're making up your mind to come here, you're like, I can't because I never come. I can't only come because it's Easter, right? Like, I feel bad about that. I bet you maybe had that thought. And some of it might come from the fact that you feel like, you know, God is judging you because you don't come all the time. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not the case. We are happy that you're here. I don't, one time a year, or the really good Christians, 50 times a year because there's 2 weeks of vacation. But the really, really good Christians watch online or go find a church on vacation, right? So 52 Sundays. And then let's talk about Wednesdays and Sunday nights and, you know. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, it's not about the amount of times that you come. But here's what it's about understanding as best we can God's love for us. Whether you come once or every single time it's open. So God is up on, or Jesus is up on the cross and he cries out, "God, why have you forsaken me?" And I felt that, right? I have felt that growing up. I have to fix myself. I have to become better of a person. I have to stop sinning in order to have a really good relationship with Christ, with God. Every time I sin, every time I stumble over something, it damages my relationship, right? God's going to look away a little bit because he can't be associated with sin. And maybe inadvertently, but this is kind of what I've believed and felt and been taught most of my life. My God, why have you forsaken me, right? So I want to try something today. We're going to see, this is the 11 o'clock crowd. So we've slept in, some of us, not, I don't know, we volunteered in the first service and stuff, but this is my crowd. Like, these are my people, the 11 o'clock. I don't tell the first service this, but I believe it. Let's try a couple things, though. I'm going to start some lyrics, and I want you to finish, okay? Out loud, it's okay, it's church, it's fine, but here we go. First ones are going to be a little churchy. Here we go, ready? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Good. Wow, okay, we have some church people. Way to go. All right, here we go. Here's another one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Way to, I think I even heard the King James in there. Way to go. Those are the people that go 52 Sundays a year. All right. Now, for my people, we're going to try something a little different. Finish the lyrics. Are you ready? Stop, collaborate, and that's a little more participation. Way to go. All right, here we go. Don't go chasing. Okay. A few less. Listen, it's my birthday today. I was born in 1978, which, listen, you're going to get a headache. I'm 45 years old. But in the 90s, you know, these were my jams, right? So here we go. Are you ready? I'm going to knock you out. Mama said knock you out. Way to go. Okay, there's a few less LL Cool J fans. That's fine. Now, I'm going to, who are my people? Are you ready for this one? Here we go. Ready? I can't stand it. I know you planned it. Okay, we got a Beastie Boys fan. There's one in the crowd. I mean, you're not used to hearing it like I just did it, but. All right, let's do one more. And we just talked about this one a second ago. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, how does all this make sense? How are these things tied together? Here's what it is. What you guys just did, you quoted Psalm 22, verse number 1. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus on the cross quoted Psalm 22, verse number 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why is this important? I'm going to tell you why. I'm glad you asked. This is great. It's worked out perfect. Here's why. Psalm 22 was well known among the Jewish people of this day. This would have been a scripture, a passage, or a song that was sang or quoted in Jewish worship services all their life. It had been very familiar to them. So when Jesus says it from the cross, they knew exactly what he was saying. That's Psalm 22. I sang that as a little Jewish boy or a little Jewish girl growing up in church, right? They would have, awesome. They would have recognized it. They would have recognized it. So this is what's happening. This was a prayer. Psalm 22 is a prayer. It was a prayer when, if you're going through really difficult things, going through extreme hunger or illness, it was a prayer of lament that the Jewish community would have been very familiar with. And Jesus on the cross quotes Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why is this important? Because I'm going to tell you something. What Jesus was doing on the cross was loving the people even as they were killing him. Because Psalm 22 is not just about God turning his back on the prayer, on the person singing the song or praying this prayer. This is amazing news. This is what it says in John 10:30. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. God did not turn his back on Jesus because of sin. I and my Father, God, Jesus came to the earth, was fully God and fully human. They are one. Figure that out. I don't know how, but this is what scripture says. And so how do you can't turn your back on yourself? This is his son, his one and only son. Jesus is bringing everybody up to speed on what actually happened, what is actually happening on the cross. And the significance of Jesus quoting Psalm 22 is life-changing. Let's look at some other verses that was written, Psalm 22, about 1,000 years before the crucifixion. Psalm 22, verse number 16, it says this, Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. This is Psalm 22. This is where it's talking about Jesus' hands with nails, or he's nailed to the cross, right? His hands and his feet. Verse 22, chapter 22, verse 18. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments, which is exactly what happened to Jesus on the cross. The soldiers divided up his clothes. They were casting lots to see who would get what pieces. Verse number 19 of Psalm 22. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. This is clearly a person that's in anguish, that's in pain. The things that he's going through and describing, the prayer in Psalm 22. But then there's a shift. Psalm 22, verse number 22. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. So even though I'm going through something really difficult, I don't understand, but I will praise you. I will declare your name. This is in Psalm 22. Even though it's difficult, I will praise you. Why? How? Let's look at what it says in verse number 24. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. So Jesus, as he starts this prayer, as he starts this lament, this quoting the scripture, this Psalm 22 from the cross, as he starts it, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's just like when I stand up here and I say, stop, collaborate, and listen. And it brings back Vanilla Ice to all of us, except for the kids. They're like, I don't get it. Listen, your parents' playlist will probably be a little different on the way home because we brought back these really good memories. So just be ready for it. Be ready to be enlightened by actual music when you on your way home. But I'm saying, so let's look at what it says. God did not turn from Jesus. God did not, does not turn away from you. No matter what you do, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He will not turn away from you. Even if you only come one Sunday a year, and that's okay. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never turn his back. This is not what Jesus was saying on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He was starting this whole song that the people, again, of the day would have known. And if you remember, just after Jesus died, there was a person there who said, surely this was the Son of God. A lot of dots got connected in those moments for him. Let's see what it says in John 3:16. We started to quote that just a minute ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse number 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus paid our debt on the cross. Jesus paid our debt on the cross. And towards the end of that psalm, it says, I will proclaim your name to the people. Victory. Romans 8, verse 1. Further, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, right? Romans 8, verse 1 and 1 through 3. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be the sin offering. And so he condemns sin in the flesh. He condemns sin. Not you. We have freedom. We have victory. We have salvation through Jesus Christ. It goes on in Romans 8, starting verse 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus died. More than that, more importantly, who was raised to life, defeating death and sin, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us? He's at the right hand of God, interceding for us. That means he's praying for us. There are things that I go through. There are things that I go through that are stinking difficult. And sometimes I just don't even know what to say, how to pray, what to ask for. I don't even know what is the combination of words that will glorify God enough to make this go away. And I don't know. But the scripture tells me that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, who is interceding, who is praying for me. Well, I don't even know what to say. There are things that are going really well. When things are going great, sometimes I don't even know the words to say to express my gratitude. Jesus is at the right hand of God, interceding for us, praying when we don't even know what to pray. Not turning his back when things are going bad. That's not Jesus. That's not God. This is such good news, and we are still talking about this 2,000 years later. Such good news. God loves you. God hears you. Even when you don't know what to say, he is praying for you. Let's look at Psalm 22, verse 30 and 31. Future generations will be told about the Lord. This is the end of that song, the end of the lyrics that Jesus started to quote on the cross. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to people yet unborn. That's us. Still talking about it today. He will declare to people yet unborn, he has done it. Which also is a very close translation to it is finished. What Jesus said on the cross. He has done it. Written 1,000 years before the crucifixion. Jesus got up on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it wasn't because God was turning his back on sin or sinners or Jesus. It was because he wanted everybody within earshot to hear and to know, and for generations to come, to know that it is finished. It is done. The sacrifice has been made. The price, the debt has been paid. Salvation is available, free for all. That's good news. So now when we mess up, you know, when we're not perfect, we don't have to feel like God is separating himself from us because of sin. We are sinners, but saved by grace. And God wants a relationship which with each and every one of us. It is finished. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried for 3 days. And then he rose again on that third day, defeating death and sin. The debt has been paid. It is finished. Now let's fast forward just a little bit to 3 days later. In Luke 24, there's a few women who are walking. They're going to the tomb where Jesus was buried. And they have some spices. They want to take care and honor the body, right? And this is what happens. They're confronted with an angel. And the stone has been rolled away. And here's what it says. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Then he says this, remember how he told you while you were still with him in Galilee, the Son of Man will be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. He was like, hey, why are you looking for this guy that they killed? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why'd you come to the tomb? You remember what he said? That he was going to be killed, but 3 days later he'd rise again? Remember this, because he told you this, right? And then in verse number 8, this blows my mind. Then they remembered his words. Then they remembered his. So Jesus, as he's working with and walking with and teaching these people, he lets them know, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. How is it possible that these guys, in the middle of this happening, they're not remembering, okay, hold on, settle down. He told us this was going to happen. He told us this was going to happen, and 3 days later, he's going to rise again. So let's wait. Like, hold on to this hope that this is going to happen. How could they not be grabbing onto this hope, this possibility that 3 days later, Jesus is going to rise again? Instead, they were bringing spices to honor and to prepare the body to be in there. But then when the angel says, don't you remember? This is what he said. Then they remembered. Let me tell you something. I need reminders all the time. I need reminders all the time. God has done things in my life, in my family's life, in this church's life. There are people sitting here that have stories that there's no explanation other than God did this. But yet still, sometimes I get distracted. Sometimes I can still walk through the next difficult thing and I can forget, right? And I, in my own strength, with my own knowledge, try to figure something out. It'd be nice if that angel would stay and walk up. Hey, don't you remember what God has done for you? Remember how God has come through for you in the past, right? Remember these things that there's no explanation except for God. Remember that? Hey, let's do that again. But this is what happened. Right in the middle, right after Jesus raised from the dead. Don't you remember? And they needed a reminder. We need a reminder. We need a reminder. We get caught up in the chaos, the world around us. So they here are realizing again that Jesus is who he says he is. They're coming, they're having this light bulb moment. Oh, that's right. I remember what he said. This light bulb moment, right? And this is exactly what I need. And what I need to be intentional about, and we need to be intentional about, because let me tell you something, God works in our lives. There are things that we have all experienced, probably, and maybe we haven't noticed it. Even before I believed in God, even before that I would call myself a Christian, God was working in my life, protecting me and steering me and pushing me in this direction, and making sure that I ended up, for some reason, right here where I am today. God works in our lives. And we need to remember those experiences. We need to remember those instances in our lives so that when something happens, when we come through a difficult patch or a really good thing or whatever it is, we keep God in the forefront. And we don't need to be reminded. But I'll tell you, this is the beauty of coming to church and worshiping together, is we can be reminded together. We can hear stories. We get to catch up with people. We hear how God is working in their lives. We get to tell how God is working in our lives. And this is my story. It has happened to me, and I believe it. And there's nothing you can do to change my mind because it happened to me. I experienced it. And let me tell you something. That gives confidence. Remembering what God has done in your life gives you confidence to keep going and to put your trust in him every single day. Remembering what God has done. That's why the angel said to them, don't you remember? And then they remember, right? We need people around us. Hey, don't you remember? A phrase that we use here all the time, I think Matt Hearn started it forever ago, was borrowing the faith of others. Hey, you're hurting, you're down right now, you don't have it in you? Well, listen. I'll have enough faith for the both of us because I have experienced some things. Let me share this with you. Let me share my experience with you. Let me walk through this with you because I have right now, I have enough faith for the both of us. And you know what? Next week, maybe I'm going to need to borrow some of your faith. You know, I was asked a question a few weeks ago. I was getting my hair cut, and in the barber shop, the barber introduced me as a pastor, which is always, you know, all the language cleans up and all, you know, everything changes. But the guy getting his haircut, he said, oh, I had a question I've always wanted to ask you. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? And I very quickly answered him, no. But then it was like, okay, good. Like he didn't feel guilty for not going to church, you know? But then I said this. I said, but unless you're surrounded by a community of people who believe like you believe, who are headed in the direction that you're headed in, you're never going to be able to stick with the relationship that you have with God. It's going to be so much more difficult without having people around you that you can borrow their faith, that they can borrow your faith, that we can build each other up, that we can sharpen each other, that we can help, we can celebrate together, we can mourn together. Without that community around you, it is so difficult. But we see an example right here in the middle of Jesus being raised from the dead. This angel, hey, don't you remember? Somebody needed to bring this memory back. That's why it's so important to worship together, to show up. Online is an amazing tool. There are people who can't make it here. But if you can make it here, we need to be with people. It's important to borrow the faith, to encourage, to love, to do ministry alongside with other people. Because we have to be reminded from time to time, because we're human and we forget, and life takes over, chaos gets in the way, distractions. But listen to what it says, Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. This is describing a personal relationship. It's an interaction. It's back and forth. I will eat with them. They will eat with me. It's a personal, ongoing relationship with Jesus. That is what he is asking us to be a part of. But he's at the door knocking. He's not forcing his way in. We have to enter. We have to say, come on, invite him in. This is what it says in John 3:16. He sent his one and only son. But whoever believes, we have to believe. We have to start that relationship, right? We have to let him enter in. He's standing at the door. He's knocking. Listen, I started today talking about how there's no mistake that you're either here in person or online. You're watching today. There's no mistake. This message that God did not turn his back. He doesn't turn his back when we're bad. But instead, it was the beginning of lyrics of a song that ended with, even people unborn, all of the generations are going to hear about this love, this sacrifice, this victory. It is finished. So today, maybe you're sitting here and this is what you needed. You know, I knew about God. I grew up in America and I know about God. I've heard about God and Jesus and that stuff, right? But today was the first day that it's kind of making sense a little bit. I understand about the love of God. I'm beginning to understand. I still have questions. We all have questions. But I want to start that relationship. I want to open that door and have that interaction, that personal relationship. Today, I want to start that. So maybe today you're sitting here and this is you. For the first time, I want to start this relationship with God. Believing that Jesus Christ did come to the earth, lived a perfect life, was crucified, buried, and rose again on the third day. Defeating death and sin, paying my debt so that I could spend eternity with him. If that's you today, we're going to pray a prayer in just a minute. And let me tell you something. There's nothing magical about the prayer. It is a conversation starter. We're having a conversation with God. And we're inviting him in. Just like he says, I'm at the door. I'm knocking. I want to come in. We're inviting him in with a prayer. But maybe you're sitting here today. And you know what? I have accepted Christ. I would call myself a Christian. But I've gone away. I needed a reminder. Today was a reminder for me. Maybe you're sitting here today and that's it. You needed a reminder. We're going to pray a prayer for you as well. So put a stake in the ground today. Today I start my relationship with God. Or today I'm kind of refocusing, re-energizing my relationship with God. If that's you here today, I want everybody in the room to bow your heads. Let's pray. And I'm going to pray for that first group first. So I want everybody to close your eyes, bow your heads. And if this is you, if this is your first time, you want to invite God into your heart. Accept him. Don't have all the answers, but I want to accept him as my Lord and Savior. Today, I want you to pray this prayer with me. You can just pray it in your head. You can repeat it to yourself. You can repeat it out loud, and that is fine. But I want you to pray this prayer with me. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son to be my payment, to pay my debt, a debt that I would never be able to pay, so that I can believe in you and spend eternity with you. Thank you for who you are and for loving me. Now, God, help me to seek after you, to become a disciple, to become a student of God. God, lead me from here. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you're in that second group, everybody keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you're in that second group, I want to pray with you. And again, just pray with me as I pray. God, thank you for loving me enough to have me here today. This is no mistake, and I know now why I'm here today to hear this, to be reminded of your love for me. God, I believe that you don't turn your back on me when I stray away, when I don't act the way that I act, when I sin, do things that I shouldn't do. I believe that you still love me. You're still at the door knocking, asking to come in. God, I want you to come in. I want this interaction. I want this personal relationship. So God, thank you for offering that. Thank you for allowing me to come back. God, help me. I pray for wisdom. You say in your scripture that if we pray for wisdom, you'll give it to us. And I'm praying today for wisdom. I want wisdom and direction as I begin again my relationship, as I refocus. God, help me have the boldness to do exactly what it does in Psalm 22. Lord, sometimes, my God, why have you forsaken me? God, I feel that sometimes, but then I get to the end where I will proclaim your name. I will worship you. I will tell others about you because I know I have the confidence that you are real in my life. And it is finished. The debt has been paid. Thank you for who you are and for this relationship that we have. Amen. Now listen, that story, your story, what you've been through, your experience with God gives you the confidence to go from my God, why have you forsaken me, to the end of the story, which is future generations will be told about the Lord. Your life is a witness. Your story, what God has done in your life, is a story that needs to be told so that others can borrow your faith, or it can be a springboard for others to start their own faith. Generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring it to a people yet unborn. This is the end of the story. He has done it. Victory through Jesus Christ on the cross and through his resurrection. So we started today with those words, the greeting that's been done in church for thousands of years. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Do we believe it today? Let's pray. God, again, I thank you for this opportunity to come before you, to be reminded of your love for us. Thank you for who you are and that we are your sons and your daughters. Thank you for loving us and sending your son. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I tell you what I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful for the reminder that when I turn and believe and follow Jesus, that I am set free from the power of sin and death in my life, and that I am gifted this new life that is abundant, being what has been called born again, that Jesus described as being born again. But what I'm also thankful for today is just being reminded that what gives me confidence to make that step, to make that decision, is the event in human history that Jesus resurrected from the dead. And man, how powerful today to learn that although many of us may believe that we're not enough for God to love, or we're too much for God to love, or not enough for God to use, that with his last breaths, he was loving us and reminding us that he had come to give us this new life. Man, I'm just so thankful for that today, and so thankful for the decisions that have been made to believe in him, to follow him today. And this is what we're all going to do right now. We're all going to respond. This is the time in our service where, man, we sing, we pray, we give, all these things happen in this time. And I think this is the best way to end the service by singing, because a lot of times when you come together like this and God shows you something or he speaks something to you in a personal way, man, what better way to talk back to him than just celebrating him, who he is, and the truth that we're singing about. And so that's what we're going to do here in just a minute. So what I'd like to do is just kind of pray over our response and just remind you that if you know you are a first-time guest today, stop by, see our folks at guest services. We want to love on you and give you that free gift, but also with your connection card, man, let us know what God did in your life today. Let us know how we can pray for you. And you'll notice that whenever we go into this final song that we're going to have a prayer team here at the front. Let me tell you why they're here. They're here to support you, because if there's a conversation that you need to have with God before you leave here today, then they want to have that conversation with you. They want to pray with you and pray for you. And let me just tell you the final thing, the biggest reason why we have these connection cards and our prayer team here is because we want to help you take your next steps. And if you made a decision to follow Jesus today, to recommit your life to him, we just want to remind you how it's always been done, right? If you're asking yourself the question, well, what's next or what now? Well, from the very beginning, the way that people have made it known publicly that they have decided to follow Jesus is through baptism. And so April the 30th, the fifth Sunday of this month, we have scheduled a baptism for you that you can participate in. You can invite your family and friends or neighbors to come and celebrate with you. It's like a party here. We do it right in the middle of worship, and it should be that way. It should be a celebration. So we're looking forward to that. Make sure you don't miss that. Go ahead and sign up, and we can help you plan for that by following up with you this week. All right. So let me do this. Let me just go ahead and pray for us and pray for our response. So Father, we do love you and thank you for all of the things that you've done today, the way you've spoken to us, the way you've shown yourself to us. And I pray that this presence we felt today, this power that we felt today, we would take with us. We would be reminded throughout our week of what you've done in our life and how you've moved in our life today. Thank you for the opportunity we have now to respond to what you've done, what you've said, what you've shown us, through generosity, through prayer, through singing. God, I pray today that we would just know how big you are and that we would learn to lean on you, that we would learn that this is a process of learning to live this abundant life you've gifted to us. Help us to become generous people. Help us to become people who enjoy prayer, who enjoy worship. Transform us into the people that you've called us to be. We ask these things today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet? Let's sing together.